Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Friday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast, and we are grateful to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who has given us opportunity to share the Word of God again with you. I want to shout out to those of you listening here in the United States. Welcome. Welcome to those of you listening in Canada and Mexico, Iraq. Welcome. Welcome to those of you in the Philippines and every country that I have not named that is listening to this broadcast. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any question about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us at an email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S-W-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Praise be to God. So we thank God for those of you who follows us on Blog Talk Radio. You know it's Friday, and that means heart to heart with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens. And I am Brother Nate, who will be joining them. And as we wait for my brother to come on, wherever you listen to me at, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we are grateful once again for this opportunity you've given us to come and assemble together. We pray today, Lord God, that you will word the mouth of the speakers tonight and touch the ears of those that are hearing. Let your word go forth in its purity and its fullness tonight in Jesus' name, that all glory and honor may be brought unto you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. So, Lord God, we just thank you for another blessed day and another opportunity you have given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Thank God for another blessed day. The word I want to give to you today is strive to come close to God. Strive more to put more of your faith in Christ. Okay? Now, we have to be honest with ourselves. We as Christians, we have not shown faith in every area of our life. Let's be honest about it. So we know that there are areas that have to be worked on that faith needs to be in, okay? And we thank God that God helps us in that area to work on that area, that we may build faith in God, okay? Hallelujah. I mean, some of us may have a problem muster of faith concerning sickness or concerning finances, okay? Or even concerning just forgiving, okay? We all know, you know, that we have some work yet to be done. And, you know, even the devil knows concerning your weaknesses. That's the area he comes at. So today, strive to get more closer to the Lord. Now, I've been working on something on the side, and hopefully, Lord's will, and coming up real soon in the future. I announced it before, but I haven't got it all together yet. But to talk to you guys about health, healing, sickness, and disease. And I just want to say a little bit tonight that whatever you do, concentrate on coming closer to Christ, because healing through Christ is the better way. Now, am I saying that God cannot use the doctors? No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that Christ's way through him is the better way, because with doctors, once again, you have to learn how to eat the meat and throw away the bones. And when they go to talking that you can't be healed, go ahead and die kind of stuff, you got to be in the face says, hey, no, doc, it ain't over till my God says over. Now, it's sad to say, and many of y'all heard us on the broadcast last night, me and my brother, when we was talking about the wrong trust, when putting your trust, quote, in man, And that's what many of us have done. Now, you said, Brother Nate, why are you saying this now? Because the trend that I'm seeing now, people, you got insurances going up. You got insurances now not covering certain medicines they used to once cover. You got insurances telling you, say, hey, we don't cover this medicine, period, which means it got to come out of your pocket. And when you find out the price on this medicine, wow, you just go, oh, my goodness, I can't afford that. This is why I'm telling you that this is very important, okay? I know some of us is teaching that any day we can be gone now. And like I said, where I stand on it and seeing in the Word of God, that's not true. And I'm telling you like this, we're getting close and close time to, hey, coming up on the mark of the beast, where the Bible said you're not going to be able to buy or sell, you know, without that mark. I mean, how you think you're going to get hospital service? It's going to have to be through that mark, okay? And the Word of God said you take that mark, that's damnation to your soul, okay? I am encouraging y'all as believers to get close to Christ. Listen, Jesus can heal anybody and get you off medicine. So while you take your medicines now, at the same time, build your faith in Christ. Because many sicknesses in medical science says there's no cure. And they tell you, said, you're going to be on this medicine for the rest of your life. Now the decision comes. Are you going to accept and rest in what they say? Or are you going to really believe God for your healing? Listen, you don't want a treatment. You want a cure. Amen. And many times God show you how that medical science is limited. Now, I'm not giving a message to bash medical science or anything, but they're limited. I'm going to pass my brother on here. God bless you, Brother Kevin. How you doing?
I'm blessed, brother. How are you tonight?
Blessing the Lord. Thank God for another blessed day. Just talking to the listeners until Brother Lee come on here. And I was just, you know, encouraging them to get closer to God. And because the time we're living in now, God's way is the better way. And I was talking to them concerning medicine, not trying to bash doctors, but your insurances is going up. Your insurances now is denying certain medicines they used to cover. Your insurances is now telling you that we don't cover that medicine, meaning it got to come out your pocket, okay? And we're coming to the mark of the beast time, people, which the Bible said you're not going to be able to buy or sell anything without that mark.
Mm-hmm.
So as I told him, how you think you're going to get hospital service during that time? It's going to have to be you had that mark, okay? You know, you look at today, when you go into a hospital, brother, one of the things, and you know this for yourself too, one of the things they want to know is you got insurance, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Now, if you turn around and say you ain't got it, unless you got what they consider a very great ill sickness, about to die thing, watch how long you're going to end up waiting if you don't have no insurance. You're going to be there a while, okay? And let's be honest about it, and this is the thing I'm working on coming up in the future on this subject. Other people that got insurance, they're going to be 10-2, okay? They're going to be 10-2 quicker. I know people don't want to admit that, but they're going to be 10-2 quicker than those that don't have the insurance, okay? You ain't got no insurance, you might as well just grab you a chair, and you're going to be sitting there. Unless it is absolutely nobody else in there, you know, you're going to be sitting there.
Yeah.
And I think that as believers, we need to be spending our time building people in the faith. Now, once again, this is not a crusade, people, against doctors. I'm not trying to get a crusade and have you going with a snappy attitude to your doctor and all that. I'm not saying it. But Christ's way is the better way. And while you take your medicine, at the same time, build your faith in Christ. Okay?
Yeah.
Build your faith in Christ. Because he is the healer. And I know that medical science tell you, say, hey, with most of the diseases and sicknesses, they say there's no cure. They say you're going to be on this for the rest of your life. Now, you have to make a decision. Whether you're going to believe Christ to be delivered and healed off of this, or you're going to take the word of the doctors. You have to make a decision. But I'm like this, you know, why preach Christ the healer if we're not going to believe him? Okay, that's how I look at it. What's the sense of doing that? God bless you, Brother Lee. How you doing?
Oh, shalom. Carry on, sir.
Shalom. Shalom, brother.
Yeah.
We got Brother Kevin on with us, Brother Lee. And really, I just, until you come on, I was just sharing with the people how we need to get closer to God and build our faith in Christ, just reminding them of the insurances. You know, the insurances is going up. They are now, you know, denying certain medicines even the more. Medicines they used to cover, they talking about they don't cover no more. You know, and, you know, people is getting in a panic and a frenzy. And, you know, and they like, hey, I got to have this. I can't make it. And I just tell them, we coming up toward the mark of the beast time, you know, where the Bible say you're going to be able to buy or sell anything without it. And so how you think you're going to get your hospital services during that time? You're going to have that mark, okay? And
oh my goodness.
You look at today, brother, you go to a hospital, what's the first thing they want to know? Do you got insurance, okay? And if you ain't got no insurance, you going to be at the back of the line. If you ain't got no insurance, you know, so you might well grab a seat, you know, and other folks coming in that got insurance, I'm just going to tell you, they're going to tend to them up front, okay? Now, I know some people don't believe this, brother. But it's true.
Well.
Amen.
Amen. I know it's, we try to share this upcoming thing about 2025. Yeah, it's been over 20 years, we've tried to warn the people that this was coming and try to, you know, get them in the mind to prepare about this treatment and hospitalization and medical attention and try to prepare them for eternity, to turn their faith and look to the eternity ways that God has prepared for them. And so we have been sharing with people over 20 years how this day was coming, and it wasn't going to be long. But you know how it is when you try to share things that don't seem to be on the horizon and people can't see it in their mind, you know, they're slow to believe. And they're slow to prepare. And so now we are facing a lot of things that we have been warned in the past to prepare ourselves for. So one of the things was we saw this, that they were going to turn a lot of people away from medical attentions and physicians. And if you don't have that, you know, insurance, that special insurance that covers, we just give you a little emergency. And when you do get attention and we have to send you somewhere else on the way, you might be dying. So that's the way about that. I think the doctors, they take a Hippocratic or it's a hypocrite. What is it, Hippocratic or hypocrite oath?
Right.
What kind of oath is it, Kevin? Glad to hear you and see you, brother. I'm glad for you and welcome you.
Hey,
prayers for you and family. So we're glad to hear you. So, what kind of oath do they take? A hypocrite, or a Hippocratic? What is it?
I guess you can pick either one. Neither one of them right.
Yeah, you know, at least the Indians medicine man or what he was, Sitting Bug, he was dancing, and he would dance and call the medicine man, and he would do his thing. I don't know if they charged the Indian charge when the medicine man would come up with, you know, driving the spiritual way. It's an amazing thing that the Indians. The American Indians, they believe in driving away the spirits. They didn't know about the spirit world, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
They did. And they would dance, and the medicine man of the tribe would dance, and then he'll go and give some herbs or some tea and some do some things against the spirits. So they did believe that the spirits was the cause of a lot of things in the spirit world. You know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And we have to understand that that in this world, that it's two worlds existing. One is the spirit world and one is the natural world. And the physical world, which we live in and see. But that's another world that's causing all chaos and problems. So so the day comes that the hospitals and the medicine practice say, we can't do anything but give you the tenant the treatment, and we have to send you home because you don't have anything called insurance or to pay. So there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. So, amen.
Wow.
And so, you know, the Lord has provided special alternative ways that we have not utilized, and we have kind of totally, I'm grateful for the Lord has provided the medical. I am really grateful for the physicians, those that love to practice and seek the wellness and wholeness of their people, the medical doctors. I'm grateful that he has provided that because it has saved many, many millions of people's lives. And so I'm grateful for that. But when they got lock and load, like they said, I'm at lock and load, and you lock in on that only way, and when that gets shut off from you, what you gonna do?
Yeah.
What you gonna do?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now think about this. It has gotten down that some people have to sit in the emergency room from 8 to 12 to 14 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, amen.
Now, okay. Let's turn it around. So you're sitting there with such faith waiting on the doctors. Let's sit in the prayer room for 8 hours and read the word. Let's see, can we turn this around? Since you are willing to exercise your faith in the medical profession, and which I'm not against, I'm definitely not against it. That's where you have to go, and your need has to be met. But if you're putting so much confidence totally in this avenue, and you spend 8, 9, 10, 12 hours, 14 hours. Maybe we could use that time and find a better way. 14 hours in the prayer room, getting anointed and getting healed and delivered and calling on the great healer. Maybe we should teach the people to do that. Think that?
Oh yeah,
that goat.
Oh yeah. I mean, and that's you know, like you said, brother. That's the better way, and I'm not, you know, knocking the physicians. Thank God for them, but you know, you got to, as Sister Juanita Byron has said, you got to learn how to eat the meat and throw away the bones. Okay.
Yeah.
And you know, if you don't know how to do that, you know, brother, I like chicken, but I ain't eating no bone. I'm gonna go for the meat.
I think that. This is the meaning of when he says part of it is that the times of restoration and restitution of all things. Now, when the Lord says this day, at this period of time that we're living in today, there will come up a restoration, a restitution of all things. We have not really understood that fully. We have only understood it in part. We have not comprehended what he was saying. I'm going to restore. I am going to restore to the church and to mankind. I'm going to restore all things. What does this all things consist of? And bring the restitution and refreshing of all things. You notice what he said? The time of refreshing, of revisiting you in Acts. He says, Acts chapter 3, beginning verse 22, about the time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, and I will visit you with a time of refreshing, and it will be during the time of the restoration and restitution of all things spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets. This restitution means that he's going to take us back, and he's taking the, especially to those who call us, you know, the Christian believers and mankind, back to the original plan and purpose of God. And that, do you know that Israel, this is the thing I keep looking at as a type and a shadow to teach us in the New Testament. Do you know when they left Egypt, and Psalms 103, do you know, here's the thing that we're typically missing, that the Lord is trying to tell us. When Egypt was a type of bondage and slavery to the things of sin and Satan and the kingdom of darkness. But do you know that when they marched out of Egypt, it was about 500,000 of them, and not counting the children and the women, which is almost a million people. But do you know when they was coming out of bondage, out of slavery, out of under the hard taskmaster, do you know the Bible says there was not a feeble one among them? Now, understand that. Now, they've been in hard bondage and grief and slavery and sorrow for over 400 years under the slave masters of the Egyptians, which is the typical symbol of people being in the bondage of Satan's kingdom. But it said when it was on their way out, there was not a feeble or a weak one among them. Now, how is that possible?
Amen.
And the problem about it is they spoiled the enemy, and they had silver and gold and sufficient. And it says in Psalms 103, there was not a feeble or a sick one among them. Now, it said the cloud was over them. The cloud of God's glory was over them. Do you dig it?
Amen.
Do you understand it? The cloud of God's glory was over them, and they was moving forward, and I wonder what was keeping them well. You know, the third thing it says on their way out, they didn't have any lack. And he says they wore the same shoes for 40 years.
Wow.
Now, I'm kind of looking at this. If I was a little child, then as my feet grew, the shoe must have grew.
Something. Amen.
If y'all got it, I mean, he said the shoes didn't wear out in 40 years. The clothes didn't wax old 40 whole years. What preserved them and kept them in a miraculous way? Wow. That's something else, isn't it?
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So, and, you know, when I first came to the Lord and I was seeking and I was fasting and praying and concentrating myself, and I was asking the Lord, sitting in that chair by night, why did people who were Christian often, the question I asked the Lord from nights, I was praying and fasting, why is it that even the saints, some of the saints, had to be taken away or removed out of the earth by the plagues or sickness or affliction that often hit and came upon them? And so as I began to pray and fast and sit in that chair at night, I began to see some of the things that would come upon the believer like they come upon the sinner of the uncovenant one. And I began to understand better as he showed me why. And so we need to understand why that the believers in the New Testament are under a covenant. And the word covenant in the Hebrew, you know, the covenant that God makes with us in Christ, is inclusive of many things that we are not partaking of. What do you think he wants to restore?
Man.
What do you think he wants to restore when he says all things? I know we've come this far in 1929, but we still haven't come to the all things yet, have we?
Amen.
Have we? I would like to know. I would like to know. I would like to know what I'm missing here. He said, I was sending Elijah, and he was going to restore and bring the restitution of all things. Wow. Now, you know, I was reading a little history about the Azusa Street Revival. Anyone ever heard of that?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
There was a man that spearheaded this. He happened to be a colored African-American man, and his father was in slavery, and he was a little child when his father, I guess, when his father came out of slavery. And he was a black man, William Seymour. And I understood that during this event that took place at Azusa Street, a spiritual awakening, that a man came in, and he had no arm and no shoulder. His arm was missing. And even part of his shoulder, there was nothing. And so he came into the Azusa Street Faith Mission, something happened. He wanted to know, could he get some help? And so he came in, and they went up and got Bishop Seymour and the other ones, other people that were there, because it was the revival took place. There was 24 hours ministry for 3 years. Could you understand that for 3 whole years there was ministry day and night? Can you get that?
Amen.
Amen.
I said 24/7. I said 24/7 for over three years.
Amen.
You know, it's so hard on our flesh to get a 30-minute prayer in. Anybody out there?
Amen.
Yeah.
But here he is, that during this spiritual awakening and revival in 1906 at L.A., they called the Azusa Street Revival, and went on for 3 whole years. And I'm talking about for 3 whole years, day and night, there was ministry and the glory of God. You know what's so amazing about it? They said they called a fire apartment during this revival, and because people saw fire and smoke coming out of that place into the air, and they would call the fire department, and the fire department got so tired, said, "Stop calling us. There is no fire to put out. That's something else. And don't be calling us no more." Fire department come out and try to put out this fire. They saw coming out of the top of the building and shooting them into the air like 50 feet in the air, fire and smoke. And they saw what the children of Israel was walking under. And then the people would often pass by and see this fire and smoke, and they would, you know, call the fire department. And the fire department told them, "Quit calling us. Quit calling us. We got no water to put that kind of fire out. We can't put that kind of fire out." You know.
Amen.
And I was thinking about this restoration of all things. This man with no shoulder and no arm. So Bishop Seymour, he always wear a box over his head whenever he just sit behind this box over his head. So he came downstairs and took the box off his head. And the man said, "Can you help me?" He said, "Well, I think we can." And then all of a sudden, his arm started growing out. Next thing, his shoulder just grew out. Now, he hadn't prayed now. Well, remember, he hadn't prayed yet. Do you get do to get what restoration of all things? I said, he hadn't prayed yet. And the shoulders stopped growing out and the arms stopped growing out. Do you think
Amen.
We could use some restoration and restitution of that song?
Yes, we can.
Amen. Amen.
I mean, the man didn't have an arm. There was no arm there. There was no shoulder there. And they didn't even pray. They didn't even offer prayer. All the CMO and the two guys and the other ministers sitting there, and he asked for help. He said, well, yeah, I think we can help you. And all of a sudden, his arms started growing out. The lady came with no feet. Her feet grew out. Think we could stand some kind of restoration of that?
That's right.
Amen. Brothers, I believe something that Brother Nate mentioned earlier, Brother Lee mentioned earlier about, praying, sitting in the hospital, or people sitting in the ER, you would sit in there for as long as they keep you waiting. You're gonna sit there because you want that, you need that treatment. And, when we begin to turn, in the church world, I was reading something that says that, and I believe it, that 80% of professing Christians that attend church maybe 3 days a week, Sunday, Wednesday night, and Tuesday night Bible study, they are what's called sensationalists, which means that they believe that there is a God, but they don't believe in his power. The Bible said that we'll have a form of godliness, but we'll deny the power.
Mm-hmm.
We believe in God. Oh yeah, there's a man upstairs. There's a guy in the sky, but we don't believe in tongues. We don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We don't believe in the fruit of the Spirit. We don't believe the Bible. It's a story to us. God is, when something bad happens, everybody point the finger at him. Why didn't you do this? Why would you? But now this mindset, and this is what's so powerful about strongholds and why they must be broken, and we must change our mindset about God. Jesus, when we're talking along the lines of prayer, Jesus taught his disciples. They came to him, they said, teach us how to pray. Teach us. Show us. He didn't criticize them. So obviously there was something they knew that they needed to learn. They wanted to know the principles of how his prayers were working when he prayed to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to know how this whole thing worked. And Jesus taught them what was called inductive and deductive logic. Jesus went and prayed. The Bible said they found him praying before he went into the city. Now, he was trying to teach us something there. Before he went into the cities and roundabout, healing the sick, casting out devils, doing all this stuff, he was somewhere being in prayer. Now, he's teaching us the principles of what it takes. Now, Jesus spent, they don't know, because every time they would wake up, he would be gone and he would be somewhere in prayer. So they don't know if he was in prayer an hour, 3 hours, 5 hours. But Jesus would spend 3 hours in prayer and 3 minutes casting out a devil. 3 hours in prayer, 3 minutes healing the sick. He spent no time doing these things. He didn't have to travail. Oh, let's pray all night about this sickness. Let's pray. He showed us the principles of how and the order of how it's done. And until we break our flesh, first of all, break the mindset about who God is. Not just, and the only way you're going to know God,
You got to spend time with him. You got to be in the secret place.
Oh.
He's given us to be a partaker of his same divine nature.
Oh.
That whether you speak a curse or whether you speak life, it's going to come to pass. Because you are the architect of your particular life and the lifestyle and the life that you're living right now. God is saying, listen, my hands are off this. Y'all doing this. It's like we talk about this virus. Oh, God, why? God is punishing people. God said, why y'all putting me in this? I had nothing to do with it. See, we have to realize that man has his own will and he uses it. It's the devil. So we can't blame the devil for everything.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
So.
It's a cop out.
You know, Jesus is trying. Yeah, it's the cop out. And in the church, God has designed that the church pillar, we're supposed to be healing the sick.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. We know this, but, and we say it all the time,
but we
don't do what it takes to do that. And Jesus said, you got to have a denied life. If you want to walk in this kind of power,
mm-hmm.
Jesus made himself of no reputation. He stripped his identity.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm done with myself. If you tell
mm-hmm.
me if you tell me to stand on and hop on one foot all day, I'm going to stand and hop on one
mm-hmm.
foot all day. If you tell
mm-hmm.
me to shut myself in, I'm going to shut myself
mm-hmm.
in. If you tell me not to eat, I'm going to not eat
mm-hmm.
for because I love the Father.
More.
You see, God is showing
than
us.
I love
he,
more
yeah.
than
and,
anything and anyone, even my own self. He was willing.
Amen.
He became willing to give up his complete right as self to the will of the Father in all things. He says it's in all things. Of course, us believers, it takes quite a little while before we get to that all things. All things.
Mm-hmm.
Because self is still hanging on. Okay, self still hangs on. Now, Jesus lived the life and made the commitment, and people don't understand why he spent most time 4 and 5 hours in the mountain. He went up there. He spent most of his life, he first did the sacrificial thing of confronting the devil with a 40 days fasting. Now, and he lived the life of prayer. He not only did prayer, he lived the life of prayer. And in 4 hours, usually when Jesus in the Bible, you see him coming down early in the morning, waking the disciples up. And he said, let's go. And mostly he was ready to go because he had spent all the time with the Father. Now, you notice that something is strange about how John the Baptist would be in the wilderness all the time, in the wilderness. What about him? He being in the wilderness all the time, communing. Why is he always withdrawing from the populace and the religious community, and he out in the wilderness? And when he would come out of the wilderness, after communing with the Holy Ghost, this is a disciplined life. Now, notice that the angel messenger has given us the key and keys. The angel that comes today has talked about the keys of the kingdom, but we haven't grasped them yet. You know why we can't grasp it and use them? He tells us the reason. We don't have to guess. We don't have to wonder. He tells us the problems and the answer and the solution. Simple. He gives us a solution. We have to die. First thing, we have to die. No, I ain't talking about, I'm talking about die to my complete will and my selfish flesh. We have to die. That means my flesh and my will of God has to die. To die, 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 die. Deny and die, die, die. We have to die, die, completely die. And this is the daily task of dying. Give you an example. When I first came to Christ and the Lord, and I lived with my grandmother, and I would sit in this rocking chair when I would come from work at night, and I would pray. When I come from work at 11:30 at night, and everybody would be most asleep, and I was in the front room, and I would get in this rocking chair, and this way I would pray. Now, I would first go to the washroom every night when I got up from work to meet the Lord. Secondly, after I got through meeting the Lord, I would fast on 2 days a week, maybe a couple of days a week, I would fast. And as I would give myself to the Lord in the washroom, and I come in, I would sit in that chair. I remember sitting in that chair many nights, and I would go to sleep praying, and I would wake up praying. Now, this happened a couple of times, that when I would wake up, I heard my spirit praying. When I would wake up, my spirit would be praying. Now, I went to sleep in that chair praying, my mouth and my consciousness, but when I woke many times, I heard my spirit, my inward man, was praying. This is how you know you get a really breakthrough in this realm of prayer and faith. Now, and he began to teach me how to follow his leading and walk in him. Now, if you're going to see these things, we're going to have to walk in Christ. He told me about walking in the light and the path. You have to walk in it. So, like I told you before, the first prayer I prayed when I first started with Elder Treadwell was this young child, the lady called him, that had a withered arm. The child was about 5 years old. So when I went in there, I had just started with the Lord. I didn't know how to doubt the Lord. I didn't know how to not believe the Lord, because I was humbling myself daily, my will, in prayer and fasting and in the Word. So I didn't know, the doubt was getting out of me. So you know how you come to the Lord, you don't know how to doubt the Lord, until a few days later you learn how to doubt the Lord. Just about to tell you how to doubt the Lord. Because your spirit is fresh in God. Your spirit is fresh and renewed. So we went to pray, the elder. I was not yet an elder, but I was taking Elder Treadwell around. I had not, I wasn't an elder. But I believed the Lord. I had come in, and he says, this withered child, and I took him around, and he prayed his prayer. Then the Lord told me to pray a different type of prayer. Now, here's where the leading of the Lord is going to get results. Learning to be led of the Lord is going to get some results. Not always following what you think, but ask the Lord for leading. I was saying that he was praying to this child who had the withered arm. I said, Lord, I'm talking to the Lord in my spirit. I said, when I pray, I'm believing for a result. I'm not praying just to hear myself to pray. Do you know the average person is just praying and not really looking for results, not believing for results?
Amen.
They may be hoping, but they're not believing because they haven't come to the point. Hallelujah. So I'm sitting there talking to the Lord and knew in the Lord. I said, when I pray, I expect, I'm looking for a result. And I heard the Spirit of God say, okay. When I began, my elder, I was taking my elder away, I just knew. He said, you want a prayer? I said, yeah, I want to say something. Then I began to pray the way the Lord led me to pray. And it was a short release. And the Spirit said, it's done. I heard it is done. I said, I believe. I looked at the arm. The arm didn't look no change. But he said, it's done, because I followed the leading. And faith come with the leading of the Lord. I said, faith is really activated when you follow the leading of the Lord. Now, afterwards, the lady called us, the lady, that his arm was made whole. But when I looked, when I heard the voice of the Lord, it's done. I followed your leading. It's done. I expect a result. I learned how to look God beyond what it seems. The second thing he led me, this lady was crippled. And I just started with the Lord, and I was witnessing, and the lady, he said, go back and fast. And he told me days to fast. And I committed myself to my flesh to that. And I began to follow the leading. He says, wait. I waited until the Lord gave me leading to go back. Now, I could have prayed for her any time, which is good. I could have let her know, but that was good. But he said, wait upon me. David said, I waited faith, waiting upon the Lord. There's some things you got to really wait upon the Lord for his leading. Is that right? Do you believe it? Right. Well,
amen.
This particular thing, he said, go back and wait. And I did my consecration, my little past English. And he said, now, one day, I said, I don't want to go back unless you're going to do something. I'm not going back just to be praying unless you're going to do something. If you're not going to do anything, and I'm just going by myself, I said, forget it. I'm not going. He said, now go. He got me up one morning and prayed. He said, now I want you to go. He said, when you get to the house, get to the lady and come upstairs, this is follow my leading. He said, now I want you to open the Bible and begin to teach on this to her. Get her prepared for her miracle. Sometimes you have to get people prepared for a miracle because they're not ready. Do you get that? Their faith and expectation is not ready to receive. Some people you can pray all day, they're not ready. They're not prepared to receive. So the following the leading, he says, when you get through, when I said stop, I remember the scripture he gave me, and I start talking only about maybe 5 minutes or 6 minutes. He said, now stop. Stand up and command her. Now, he didn't tell me to pray. That's why I learned some different things. He didn't tell me to pray. He said, command her. There's some instances you have to command and not pray. You have already prayed, and you're full of prayer and preparation prayer. But some things are command. When I commanded her, she jumped out of that wheelchair. Hallelujah. And started shouting on that cast leg and everything. I said, you got get that cast leg up. And so she kept up so much noise to the people downstairs come running up. What's going on up here? And she said, and the lady said, and she said, well, I got diabetes. I need to have some help here. So I'm finding that we need to get prepared to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. This is the example that I am getting back to now. This lady was in a coma that I had witnessed to her, and she went to the hospital in Mercy and got in the coma. I said, Lord, and so Sister Elaine and the rest of them was told me about this. Sister was in the hospital. She was in a coma. I said, I'm not going until the Lord send me. Not going. Because I'm not going there just to be going. I'm not going there just to appear. I'm going there because I'm sent, and I expect the Lord to go with me. There's some things you have to wait upon the Lord diligently. And so I waited for days. I said, I'm not going, Lord. I'm not just going there to be going. I said, if you don't go with me, I'm not going. And so one morning, he said, go. I got up, and I went to the hospital. And I walked in the room. She was in a coma. And I sat there a few minutes, pray a silent prayer, and I released her. And the moment I released her, she came from under the coma. And she started, and I was kind of getting upset because the hospital people, I thought they're going to think I did something to her. Because she started moving her hands and praising. Lord, I said, so we're going to have to learn some very vital things about releasing the Lord. So I just thought I'll bring that in. And I'm getting back to that mindset. I kind of moved away from that mindset. Hallelujah. So Lord, help me to get back to the old time way of seeing you move. All right. Anyone
Amen.
Else have anything they want to share a little bit? Hello.
Amen.
Okay.
You know, I
Amen.
I thank God that, you know, as you were saying, that you had to get people prepared in the faith. And I believe that that's one of the missions that God has put us here as believers to do with people in this last hour. I really do believe that, because what I'm seeing, what's happening, what's coming to pass, and, you know, thing about it too, brothers, is that people are in bondage. I mean, when they find out how much they got to pay for the medicine, you know, we had a guy on the job, and I shared this once before, he started having migraines, bad migraines, and he started having it after he had a head-on car accident. And he's on the job working with us, and it would get so bad he would have to go sit in the bathroom, you know. And the doctor had gave him a prescription for some pills, and it was two of them. And went to the insurance, and insurance said, oh, we don't cover that at all. The pills cost $198 a piece. And he had to go back and tell the doctor, he said, I can't afford that, you know. And I'm telling you, people, you know, this is where it's coming to. Once again, you know, not trying to throw a scare at you, but just being straight up and honest with you. And from what I'm seeing, and even with these insurances companies now, you know, people, you know, and you know, it's been hard for people. Some guys on my job, they wait to retire. I mean, they worked it somewhat a little past their retirement, because one of the reasons why they did that is because they said, hey, it's hard to get insurance out there. You know, when they could have retired, they, you know, because the insurance is so high a month, you know. That's one of the things I do appreciate about the job we own. Come to find out, the last insurance that we was on, Blue Cross Blue Shield, it calls for each one of us individually $900-some a month. And so our job was paying. Job was paying 800-something. And we paid the other 100 and something. Right.
I know they didn't like that.
I appreciate the job for that. You know, because you can't beat you can't beat that deal right there. And that's what they paid.
Saying that that's the key of jobs now. When you get in a job or an assignment, it's the key to that job is what do they offer in health insurance. That's
right.
The key that the big battle is going on in the business world about that health coverage and the cost. And when I worked at the post office, the one thing reason I stayed at the post office was the health and life benefit, because they covered, they had to pay over 3/4 of our health coverage. Like inmate, they had to pay Blue Cross maybe $700. We had to pay maybe, you know, $80 a month, 80 months, or $70 a month. And so I stayed there for the health and the life insurance benefit. That is worth thousands of dollars, you know, in your health.
Yeah.
So the war in America now is over health, the coverage. And the business world is trying to get away and want you to pay the bulk of it now.
Right.
Or else you just out, away from it.
Yeah.
But let's remember what David said in Psalm 34. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Now, he has various ways to delivering people, and it's not always our way. That's why you have to follow the leading of the Lord. How are you planning on delivering? How are you planning to deliver this person, Lord? What is the way? That's why it says many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Until we learn the understanding of the Holy Spirit, and the leading of the Holy Spirit, this is what it means by the restoration of all things, is learning how the Lord operated in the early church and restoring the Holy Spirit to his proper place in our lives and in the working of God. We have to understand the working of the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, I wanted to read a scripture here in Job chapter 22, beginning at verse 19, Job. And this scripture was given to me, and it's so relevant to every believer in the New Testament as well as in the Old. Job 22, beginning at verse 19 and 20. Listen, Job 22 and verse 21. We have it.
Job chapter 22, verse 21. The word of God said, "Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee."
Now, the next two verses is a wake-up. It's a wake-up to me and everyone that wants to get to that place. Verse 22 and 23 says what?
It said, "Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thy heart. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles."
Now, you know, he says, "Acquaint now thyself." You know, how much time are we given to acquainting ourselves? Do you think it's less than what we should or would?
I agree. Yep.
No.
Acquainting. Getting acquainted.
Yeah.
Why do you think in the 14 message, the angel's message, the Elijah message, he told Brother Fettings, when you want light, you know what the angel told Brother Fettings? The angel in the 14 message, word of the Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
He gave him some instruction. I don't know, was it 14 and 5 or what? Yeah, 14 and 5.
Right. Message 14 and verse 5. The word of the Lord said, "Be not boastful, neither harsh with the people when you take the message to them, but be humble and full of love. And when you are in need of light from heaven, wash yourself that you may be clean. Anoint your head with oil, and in fasting and humility go before your God that he may direct you in his work."
Now, you notice, hardly nobody touches that, you know. Those are the untouchables,
yeah.
You know. It's not very popular, is it?
Amen.
Uh-huh.
Why you think the messenger who is bringing the light from heaven, bringing the word directly from heaven, but here's the part that we seem to be missing. He's the messenger to instruct. Do you get that? He's the method to bring instruction. How are you going to carry them out? It's the Holy Spirit. You're not going to carry it out because he said it. You're going to be able to carry it out because the assignment of the Holy Spirit is have its place in our lives. Okay?
Amen.
Do you get it? We can't depend on the messenger to do it, but we have to lean to who? the Holy Spirit to perform what Christ said to do it. Now, if you think just because the messenger come and he speaks these words and all we have to say, I'm glad that he come, and we don't follow the instruction, then we'll come up short, of course. He says to Brother Fetting, listen, you want some light? Now, he's telling him, if you need some light from heaven or some, what? This is what you got to do, right?
Amen.
Do you think that that's necessary? Is it good for Fetting? Is it good for everybody?
Yes, I do. Amen.
Wow. Wow. Thank you for the instruction, Lord. Now, we're living in a day where there's so much demonic activities in the earth. There is so much demonic activity. There is a lot of angelic activity who is sent to help us. Do you know that the Lord has enrolled and sent multitudes of angels in the earth to help us, to aid us, because of the demon activity? The demon activity is increasing, so the angelic angels is increasing to help to preserve and deliver the people. Now, there's a scripture that said in what? The angels of the Lord encamp round them that fear the Lord and deliver them. Anybody ever read that in Psalms 34?
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
It says the angel of the Lord are encamped round about us. What is one of the purposes? To show us the way of deliverance, to aid us in deliverance, because we are in a confrontation with a kingdom of darkness and demonic powers. There are some people, you will never get well until you cast the devil out, like Jesus did. This is no use of, we got to understand, we're in war with a conflict with an enemy, a real enemy, and enemies. So, early stages of my life, I'm getting back to what God taught me about recognizing the demonic activity that's at work and how to work, okay? And we got to teach the people about demonic activity, how the enemy is working, and what he come to do, kill, steal, destroy. What he come to do? Kill, steal, deceive, and destroy. We're dealing with an enemy. We're not just dealing with our flesh alone, which we have to harness, but we're actually dealing real life. And so people don't believe in angels, don't believe in demons. They're just full of unbelief. They don't believe in miracles. They don't believe in the works of darkness. Your brother Clark and I, when we will confront so many demons, I loved working with Brother Clark. Woo! I love. He was a warrior.
Amen.
He was a man of faith. Sugar Babe. And his wife was right along with him. She called him Sugar Babe. Sugar Babe. And Brother Clark wasn't scared of nothing when it come in the spiritual realm. He recognized the devil and his power, but he was not afraid. There was no backing up. We met so many demons in the housing project in Chicago. Brother Clark never backed up. I say he wasn't no backup.
Amen.
We met fighting demons, beating demons, kicking demons, threatening demons, you name them. Drug demons, alcohol demons, violent demons. We confront it all. Brother, I'm telling you, I got with Brother Clark, you either could be ready to put up or shut up or go home.
Amen.
Run. His Sugar Babe was right with it. And he believed in miracles. He believed in the faith of God. He believed that the Lord was the same today, Brother Clark. He was a man that believed and trust God. And he said, listen, we are the church of the living God. We're supposed to operate in authority. And so I was standing with him, and you know how many drug demons and alcohol demons we had to wrestle with in the floor? Brother Crockett, the same way we had to wrestle with alcohol demons, drug demons, fighting demons in the floor. Now, I know unless you train people and teach people that you had war with the enemy and to identify the enemy, how to identify the enemy. Very important. What do you think? What do y'all think?
I agree. When you're ministering, and also, too, that's also the blessed thing where also the word of knowledge comes in, too. I've seen it, you know, when God calls it to be an operation to know what you're dealing with, to know the type of spirit you're dealing with. That's very important. But, you know, brother, we don't talk about that too much in the church. You know, we want to dab the oil all the time or something like that. But I've learned that, and I thank God for Brother Clark, you know, because down here, you know, when I said it, when it came to deliverance sessions and things like that, I mean, he had talked to me about it when I used to go up his house just about all the time, and he had talked about it, but he was being used of the Lord to prepare me because, you know, you can go into those sessions going in there scared. Yeah, that wasn't going to work. that ain't happening at all, but not at all.
Listen, we're in a warfare. We got to prepare the people for war. This is the church of the church of Christ with Elijah Messiah. Do you know Elijah had to deal with the powers of darkness? Do you realize that Elijah, the prophet of Israel, had confront sorcery, witchcraft, and idolatry demons, real live demons? I mean, what do you think Ahab and Jezebel, them witches and warlocks, what they when they confronted Elijah? They brought their 400 sorcerers against one man.
Amen.
When you go to other nations, don't go there. You can't go there and say, we the church and we the this. The demons will laugh at you.
Amen.
You got to go there with the goods. Do you get that?
Amen.
If you don't take the goods of the Lord Jesus, you can say all day, we are the church and we are this. The demons, they'll smack you. Then they say, show me that you are the church of Jesus Christ. Show me. Until you show it, the demons are not going to be impressed. The people ain't going to be impressed. Do you get it?
Amen.
Elijah proved God to be real. It said in the angel Lord, Elijah proved God to be real. Is that that's in the book?
Amen.
Why did he tell us that? He told us in the first message, Elijah the prophet proved God was real. Why do you think he told us that?
I believe that this move of God, that God is about to bring, he's always told us that if I don't have a people that would willingly do it, the people that I'll raise up a people that will. And what is it more about to God? It's about yielding. It's not about anything else other than being available to him, doing what he says and doing things his way. You know, I was reading scriptures today that came across social media and said, let all things be done decent and in order. And God was showing me the realm of glory where he is. And there's a reason he tells us in the message where he said, come closer. You are yet too far away. And I will touch you. Greater light and greater power is going to be yours. But the Bible tells us to draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto us. And I think oftentimes we forget about inviting him. See, our home could be, we can invite him into our home. He said, where he's reverent, where he's praised, that's a portal. That's a portal that God is that is opening up. For God, you're giving the invitation. Whatever you are yielded to, the Bible says, you become a slave to. So you can be a slave.
Yeah.
Righteousness. You could be a slave, or you could be a slave to sin. But God was showing me this move that is coming. He said, it's not going to matter how long you've been, what your position is, because you are the head pastor, or because you've been on the usher board for the last 20 years, he said it's going to be relational.
Yeah.
Did you know that there were places that Enoch can walk that you can't walk because of his relationship with God? Adam was in common union. He was in communion with God daily.
Yeah.
Elijah was a man that had like passions. He had the same desires. He wanted to watch the game.
Yeah.
He wanted to sit down and watch TV. He wanted to eat what he wanted. But yet he prayed fervently, passion. That's what God is after, the heart. The passion, that's where the passion is going to come from. The heart, the desire.
Yeah.
Yet he prays.
Yeah.
Fervently, passionately.
Yeah.
And so God is looking, when you mention, God is looking for those types of people. He don't care what you've done. He ain't looking at your resume. He don't care who you are.
Yeah.
Because, it got to go through this person in order for us to, if God don't give it to them, you can get in a line.
Yeah.
And there is kingdom technology that God, the greatest mysteries of the kingdom are yet to be revealed. The greatest revelation of the kingdom and of Jesus Christ are yet to be revealed. He said, I'll give a little bit in this dispensation, a little bit in that. The word of the Lord is here a little, there a little, but God is ready like you said, with Azusa, and I'm not taking anything away from Azusa, but that was the sprinkle.
That was the shout. Yeah.
Now God said, I'm ready to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. That was the sprinkle, because it went to usher. Why? Because he wants to usher in his kingdom. It's always been about the glory of God's kingdom. That's what he said.
Right.
That's what he said he came to bring. It is about his kingdom. He told us, if you don't know what to pray, if you don't have a clue what to pray, Jesus told us, he said, pray after this manner, that my kingdom come, my will be done. Just like it is in heaven. Now, you understand your purpose in prayer. It's praying that God's kingdom would come. But before God can get his kingdom here, he got to have hearts that are ready. He got to have a heart that is ready for, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, I will bring healing to the land. But we must also understand that the blood of this generation is going to be required of those, not those that are dedicated, those that have professed Christ. So you don't even have to be all the way, you don't even have to be all the way in to be responsible. So
Absolutely.
We all have to come to a closer walk with the Lord. There are some besieging things that the Bible said, lay aside every weight of sin that does so easily beset us. There's some things that God, there's some work that God says, listen, I'm giving you the knife.
Yeah.
Cut them off of yourself. And what does he say?
Yeah.
In the message book about us being weighed down, about being chained down by the devil, he's given us this great life. He said, unless the servants of the Lord arise, arise. That's a that's a resurrection term. That means power. That means
you
have dominant power. He said, unless they arise.
Right. Arise and
be
no
more
oppressed.
What did he say he was going to do? He was going to call others. He ain't doing no special favor for you and say, that didn't mean him. That didn't mean her. Unless we arise. And that's why
be no more oppressed.
I'm praying for everyone. I'm praying for everybody.
Yeah.
Because the Bible said that the strong shall bear the infirmities of the weak. I need your prayer.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible says
praying with all prayers, with all perseverance.
And
Jesus
being the
true praying
God,
with all prayers, all manner. And seeking his face till our whole heart, is consumed. The messenger used this term quite a bit, and he used it, and he says, qualify for this, qualify. So he's looking for a qualified people that will submit. He's looking for a qualified people that will qualify. And so that means there's something, another step, a greater commitment and consecration. I'm asking for to go back to the old landmark and obtain that you started out running for the Lord with a full commitment to draw nigh. Now, as we come near, at the beginning of my life and walk with Christ and ministry years ago, I used to go to Lake Mission at night. After I get off from work many times, I will go, if I get off from work at night at 11:30 and 12 o'clock, and go to Lake Michigan and walk on the beach at midnight. At that time, I was honestly, the Bible said, honestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. It said, in Jude, honestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints of old. Your passion, your desire drive you or lead you. So I'll go to Lake Michigan, and I'm in a hurry. You know, you start, you're young, you in a hurry, quick, want everything. So I go out to Lake Michigan often. I would walk on the sands at midnight. I was praying fervently at Lake Michigan one night, and I drove out there at midnight, and as I was walking, well, Lord, why can't I have like Moses? Why can't I have like Elijah? What can I – listen, this is the word of the Lord. The angel is coming. He's coming to restore all things. Elijah, come, and we're to be – walk in the likeness of Elijah and the power of Elijah. And then he says – so I asked him a question. Why can't I have that? Then he told me, he said, turn. And I turned to the word of the Lord, and I went in my car. I went back to my car and I turned to the word of the Lord in the light and said, to message 30. And you know what message 30 said? It says, you're too selfish, you're too far away. You know, I was praying, why can't I have? And in message 30, I began to read, he said, because of selfishness and you're too far away, you must come nigh. Do you get it? We got to eliminate all selfishness. So he spoke to me. And then I said, well, why can't I have the power of Moses? And why can't I have Elijah power? And he said, he named it in the 30th message. He told me. And I opened the book, and the word spoke. Then I asked the Lord as I was praying out there, that's one thing that happened to me at Lake Mission I haven't shared to anyone. I don't think I shared this with anyone. I'm not going to share this right now. Something happened to me when I was walking out there in Lake Michigan. I asked the Lord. I said, I want a sign just like you gave a sign like Moses. You know, we're good. I want to see some signs from the Lord, right?
Right.
I said, I want to be verified. And something took place to me that I have to get back to that happened when I was walking in Lake Michigan. Oh, we got about 5 minutes left, and then we're going to left the sisters out.
Uh-oh.
Where you at, Sister Allison? I know you're listening if you're not with your family or something. And Sister Helen. So let's make up our mind. We have to get that dedication and come together and do like I do and like I did years ago. Be honestly content for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Hallelujah. And let the walls fall down. Because he's looking for a qualified people. That's nowhere around. Qualified to be. Where's Sister Anderson and Sister Hill? You know, I was telling Brother Dre's when I first came into the work of the Church of Christ Elijah message. So I was talking to Brother Dre, and I was talking to him one time, and he says, this lady on the job, she got this bad case of arthritis, and she said, Reverend, will you kind of pray for me, Reverend? And she, Brother Dre was telling me about this lady had this bad arthritis, that bad kind, where you don't get no rest, you know? So I said, Brother Dre, so I was, you know, he was just a meek and a lovely man, just a humble man, a sweet man that you ever want to meet. And so he was talking to, I think, we was at his house or something. No, I think that was on the telephone. I called him, I said, you was telling about this lady. Why don't you call her up? And the Lord said the greater power is on you, and you God's man. And they called her up and delivered her. Because, you know, the lady works on the same job. She's hurting and is complaining. And Reverend, would you pray for me? I said, you got to, you know, brother. And so he said, I believe I will. And Brother Dre said, what happened? She said, she's doing so much better now. So we're going to have to activate ourselves. We're not activate everything God in you. So let's learn to get to the place where we begin to activate everything. Because it's unless we activate it, it's not going to grow.
We got a few minutes left, brother. We got both the sisters on. God bless you, sis.
Okay, you got 5 minutes left.
Right.
Okay.
But the Lord is blessing. He's blessing right along. And I was listening. And as I was listening to what was going on, the words, I'm telling you, brother, going back to the old landmark and qualify, they were on my mind. Before you spoke them, they were in my head. I just think that I praise the Lord because that's what he wants us to go back. Because right at the beginning of the broadcast, well, not right at the beginning, when you say how the Lord dealt with you at the beginning when you first came to the Lord. Uh-huh. I'm telling you, the Lord dealt, when I first came in, the Lord, he dealt with me. He worked miracles. He showed me things. He did things for me. I just think and I praise the Lord. And those words, go back to the old landmark, what came to me before you even spoke them. And I just thank and praise the Lord and qualify.
Amen. I thank the Lord for the word. You know, that went forth on tonight. And I just thank the Lord, you know, for his revealing power. You know, as Brother Lee was talking about, go back to the old landmark. And that, you know, that when you first dedicate and get saved, you believe God, you know, for anything. And you can look back on those things now and you say, you know, we really believe God, you know, at that time that he can do these things, you know, for us. And, you know, and you can think about the time when the Lord will have you in intercessory prayer and how he did. He will reveal things to you in the spirit. Even if you was 1,000 miles away, he will reveal those things to you and show you those things and manifest his power. Mm-hmm. And we have to get back into that place, you know, with God and go farther than that place that with God. Amen. And I just truly thank the Lord, you know, for his word that have went forth on tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
As we close,
thank God.
we cannot close without giving an invitation to anyone that's listening, everyone in every place, that this is the day of decision. You can now make a decision to commit your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You can say, here I am, Lord. Here I am. I believe that you are the Savior. You are the Lord. You are my Redeemer. And I'm here, and I'm giving myself to you, and I'm submitting myself, and I'm putting my faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior who's risen from the dead.
Yes.
And I give myself to you. Make the changes. Make the transformation in my heart. Give me a new heart. Give me a new spirit. I will follow you, and I commit my life and my sins and my iniquity be blotted out. For I'm trusting you as my Lord and my Savior, my Redeemer. Come into my life. Transform my life. I trust you to be my Savior this day, and the blood of Jesus cleanse my heart. I'm trusting you that you died and rose again. And now, if you do that and say, Lord, help me to find a group of people that I can be baptized in Jesus' name in the water and come up and walk in the newness of life. We love you. We're praying for you. And we're bleeding for a better day for your life.
Yeah. Thank you,
Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank God for another blessed broadcast. Don't forget tomorrow night, another Heart to Heart for Brother Lee and the Handmaidens Luke for the advertisement at 7 o'clock p.m. As well, from 6 to 6:30, me and Brother Robert Gross will be back on tomorrow night for the advertisement as well. So, as for Brother Lee and Brother Kieran Bruce, Brother Nate, Sister Anderson, Sister Teague, we love you. God bless you and God keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
Amen. God bless.
God bless everyone.